Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Salford confirms the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre will operate as a walk-in facility on Sunday. Leo Varadkar is accused of hiding from questions about his attendance at a function hosted by the former minister Catherine Zappone. Unions and HSE officials have been meeting today at the Workplace Relations Commission to discuss how to reward frontline healthcare workers for their efforts during the pandemic. And it's expected that the number of people aged over 65 will rise to 1.5 billion globally in the next 30 years. The numbers in this country will double by 2050. Later on in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. That's coming up at approximately 5:15. We begin with confirmation from Salford that the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre will operate as a walk-in facility on Sunday. Anyone aged 16 and older who hasn't yet received their first dose of vaccine can go to the centre without an appointment, with first doses of the Pfizer vaccine being offered. With more detail, here's Áine McGlinchey.
Salford ran a number of walk-in vaccination clinics throughout the West and Northwest last weekend and say they were happy with the turnout. As a result, they are running more walk-in clinics this weekend. The Letterkenny Centre will operate on that basis on Sunday from 8:30am until 4:30pm. They say people in the area on holidays can go to the centre at Letterkenny Institute of Technology for their first dose, and the second dose will be arranged at a vaccination centre near their home address. But you can change the location if you wish. Pre-registration is not necessary, but Salford say registering may speed up the time spent in the vaccination centre. People are asked to bring their PPS number, photo ID and proof of address.
Registration for COVID vaccines for 12 to 15-year-olds will open next week. The Health Minister says it's expected that will start on this day week, Thursday, August 12th. Minister Stephen Donnelly is encouraging parents and young people to seek information from reliable sources such as the HSE website. COVID numbers continue to fall in Donegal, with latest HPSC figures showing 1,267 cases up to midnight on Tuesday. That's an incidence rate of 795.9 cases per 100,000 people. It compares to a national rate of 370. 1,641 people tested positive for coronavirus in Northern Ireland over the past 24 hours, with 3 COVID-related deaths. 226 patients are being treated in hospitals north of the border, 39 of them in ICU. Tánaiste Leo Varadkar has been accused of hiding from questions about his attendance at a function hosted by the former minister Catherine Zappone. The Tánaiste said in a statement he doesn't believe the event for 50 people at the Merion Hotel in Dublin breached COVID guidelines. Those guidelines are currently being redrawn to take account of new advice from the Attorney General allowing outdoor events of up to 200 people. Sinn Féin's health spokesperson David Cullinan, however, believes the Tánaiste does have questions to answer.
Fáilte Ireland are in talks with the government in terms of revising the guidelines. Why is that the case? If there was no problem, if there was no confusion, there would not be a need to revise the guidelines. And there is a clear conflict between what the regulations say on the one hand and what the guidelines that were actually drawn up by the Tánaiste to say in relation to outdoor events. And I think it does strike to the heart of the credibility of the government.
Unions and HSE officials met today at the Workplace Relations Commission. They discussed rewarding frontline healthcare workers for their efforts during the pandemic. Further meetings are expected. It's not thought today's discussions will come to any formal conclusions. With more detail, here's Andrew Louth.
This meeting between the HSE and representatives from the INMO, SIPTU and Forza got underway just after 11 o'clock this morning. Vouchers, cash or additional leave are some of the options which the unions would like to see explored to recognise the efforts of their members. Dr. Ina Kelly, president of the Irish Medical Organisation, says many would have made some big sacrifices.
Prior to COVID-19, we did have a very understaffed service from the perspective of clinical staff. And I suppose once COVID-19 came, these same staff had to work much longer hours.
Final resolution is not expected to be reached following this meeting, but unions are hopeful of some progress.
The rate of unemployment fell in July as the economy continued to reopen, including those in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment. It stood at 14.4% last month. That's down from 16.2% in June. CSO figures show the unemployment rate for those aged 15 to 24 was just over 30%. That compares to 11.5% for those aged 25 to 74. It's expected the number of people aged over 65 globally will rise to 1.5 billion in the next 30 years. New research published in the Lancet Medical Journal says the number of older people worldwide is set to double by 2050. The study also shows men are generally better off in later life compared to women. Ireland was included in the report of 18 high-income countries. It was found to be one of the more equal nations in which to grow old. However, CEO of Active Retirement Ireland, Maureen Kavanagh, wants to see a more positive attitude toward aging in this country, as well as a dedicated government department.
We certainly see that older people's issues go across a range of different areas, but yet older people are dealt with within one singular department, which is the Department of Health, which gives you the impression that ageing is a health issue. And certainly some of the reports you would see out where you would see the media talking about the time bomb of ageing demographics.
It's expected the number of people aged over 65 will hit 1.5 billion in the next 30 years. You've just heard there from Maureen Kavanagh, the CEO of Active Retirement Ireland. Donegal County Council's road service is to investigate the cause of recent flooding in the Old Town area of Letterkenny. Homes and businesses in the area now fear more flooding during spells of heavy rain. They experienced more of it last evening. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says it's vital a resolution is found, with more heavy rain expected in the coming days. He says what happened yesterday mirrored what happened a number of weeks ago.
The first incident was actually coming from a council meeting in the Aura when there was significant rainfall. And as we got into the Tantai and Duns area there, we could clearly see the road was flooding, and there seemed to be a manhole blocked on what they call the back road, and that had popped the lid, and there obviously was a blockage there. We actually phoned the council roads section, and they came out with sandbags that day. It's now happened again. It's very worrying that it's happened again. I know on the last occasion it coincided with a high tide on the River Swilly, which had the sluice gates were shut and the water back had come up through the manholes. I was onto roads section this morning again. They've assured me that all the gullies are clear. They can't understand how it happened again. They're going to investigate this.
And that was Councillor Jerry McMonagall. Members of the Defective Blocks Working Group met with representatives of the Housing Agency for the first time yesterday. It coincided with a gathering of affected homeowners in Buncrana yesterday afternoon, demonstrating for 100% redress. The working group's meetings concluded last week. However, the government has agreed that the group be offered the expertise needed to carry on with talks. How to implement the learnings from the Pyrite scheme and identify the expertise needed to enhance the existing scheme were among the items discussed yesterday. Eileen Doherty, who is on that working group, says the chance to meet with senior housing agency personnel was a very important one.
The housing agency effectively oversee the Pyrite scheme. So the people that he had in the meeting with us yesterday, who are people who have expertise in the administration and all aspects of the Pyrite scheme in Leinster and the greater Leinster area. So what's happening is that we're bringing them queries that are happening in relation to the MICA issue, let's say in Donegal, maybe about its administration or maybe a concern we have, and they'll say, well, here's what we did with Pyrite. In the first few months we had an issue with this, but this is what we did to fix it. So it's fantastic because they're way ahead of us in terms of having been where we are, and they really empathise with us as well. So a lot of when we bring a concern, they get it immediately, this team. So it's really, really valuable to us. And to be honest with you, I was speaking to somebody yesterday and I was saying, you know, I think the best thing that has happened to us in the last few weeks is really just that, given that opportunity to pause, because we now have an opportunity to find and to spend time getting the right solutions in place. Now, we are not always going to be equipped to get the right solutions in place, but we also have another guy called Michael Carr. And Michael Carr is a business consultant who's been working with us over the last few months. On a voluntary basis, he's basically a consultant for a lot of the consulting houses in Ireland. And he's been helping us trying to identify the expertise we need to get in, to have an end-to-end process for the MICA, to make this a very streamlined process.
And that was Eileen Doherty speaking there to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show. A grotto in West Donegal was vandalised overnight. The words "End Penal Laws" and "End Baby Murders" were spray painted on the grotto on the N56 behind Muckish Mountain. Local councillor Michael McClafferty is condemning it. He says it's an attack on the local community.
I don't know what's behind this, to be fair. I really don't. But whatever it is, anyway, like if people have points to make, we have to go into the authorities to make them, let it be the ID, let it be the religious establishments, if you like, to make those points, because damaging property, let it be a grotto, let it be a wall, let it be somebody's whatever personal possession, vehicles, etc., so on, property, buildings, it's not going to solve anything, because all it is just causing friction. People are passing it this morning looking either side, coming from the crisis side, coming from the care side, going out to the worker, or the case may be, and they're wondering what it's about like. And it's not fair. There's no need for it. And it's not going to solve anything, Michaela, to be truthful about it. And I would just call on those whoever are doing this or have the reason to do this, if they don't want to do it themselves, put pen to paper, drop an anonymous letter off to yourselves at Highland, as I say, to the GRD, to the authorities, whatever, to highlight whatever's going on for them. And if there's an issue to be made, then something's to be highlighted. At least do it through the proper channels. This was done overnight, early hours of this morning. It's not going to solve anything, Michaela. And it's certainly not going to do any benefit, I feel, for those behind it either, to be truthful, because whatever is going on is still there. It's not, none of us are aware this morning what's happening, like, to be fair. It's an attack in the local community, personal attack in the local community, that's what it is. It's not fair to people. Those grottos, I understand, I think there's four of them around here. They went up there sometime in the late 50s, early 60s, I understand. They were put up that time by the parish and so on. And they've been there for years, never untouched. They're part of the scenery, they're part of the tourist attraction, actually, for those that want to stop and say a prayer, get photos with it, take photos, whatever the case may be. And now that's just been destroyed overnight.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with Olympic news, and it's a big night for Milford man Brendan Boyce as he competes in the 50k walk final in Sapporo. Now, Boyce, who walks under the Finn Valley Club, is competing at the Olympic Games for the third time. He was the first Irish athlete across all sports to achieve the Olympic qualifying time, and will compete tonight along with Alex Wright. Brendan told Oisin Kelly that he's going there to compete for the top positions.
My mentality is definitely that I'll be going there to compete for the top positions. Like, you know, if I'm outside of top eight in Japan now, it's going to be a bad result. Like, so it's a big difference between London, where I was absolutely delighted to be top 30. Like, so yeah. You have to develop as a sport. Like, if you're happy with 30 every year, like, there's no point competing. 50k is probably like, it's a weird event, because like there's so many different factors, and you know, if you can prepare right, if you can deliver your result on the day, it's almost 4 hours, so like there's such a long time for you to even mentally get inside your own head and mess up a race, really. Like, so I feel like I'm coming from a position where I need other people to crumble and then for me to come through in the last part of the race.
Yeah, hopefully he can come through. 9:30 tonight is the start time for that event. Elsewhere at the Olympics, IABA High Performance Director Bernard Dunn says Kelly Harrington will utilise her own strengths in Sunday morning's lightweight boxing final. The Dubliner got the better of a chess match with Superborn Sisondi to reach her first Olympic final. She'll meet Brazil's Beatriz Ferreira with gold on the line on Sunday morning. Elsewhere, Natalia Coyle made a bright start to the modern pentathlon. The county Meath athlete placed third after the fence fencing ranking round. And both Stephanie Meadow and Leona Maguire will go into round three of the women's golf in Tokyo, five shots adrift of the medal placings. Respective rounds of 66 and 67 overnight leave them on 4 under par. World number one Nelly Korda leads the field on 13 under par. And Andrew Coscorin finished in 10th spot in the Olympic 1500 metre semi-final. The Balbriggan man was just outside his personal best time, running a time of 3 minutes 35.84 seconds. Moving on to soccer, and Dundalk head coach Vinnie Perth says his side will need to box clever this evening. They're in the Netherlands to play Vitesse Arnhem in the third qualifying round of the UEFA Conference League. 6 o'clock is the start time there in the Geldrome. And there's an 8 o'clock start at the Tallaght Stadium, where Shamrock Rovers entertain Albanian champions Toyota. And Paços de Ferreira of Portugal, they host Larne. That one starts at 7 o'clock. While Celtic, they're in the Czech Republic this evening to face Jablonec in the third qualifying round of their Europa League. They kicked off there at 5:15. Celtic are currently 2-1 up after 23 minutes. Meanwhile, Parkhead will be at capacity for the return leg next week. Celtic and Rangers have been given permission to fill their respective stadiums by local authorities. In other news, England midfielder Jack Grealish is closing in on his move from Aston Villa to Manchester City. He's completed a medical ahead of a £100 million move. And another player linked with the Premier League champions is Harry Kane. Spurs boss Nuno Espirito Santo wants to solve the situation with England captain internally to avoid a public argument. In golf, Rory McIlroy birdied his opening hole, the 10th, and is 1 under par through 3 holes at the St Jude Invitational in Memphis. Shane Lowry gets underway very shortly. Jeff Herrmann and Matthew Wolff, they're the early leaders on 3 under par. On the European Tour this week, the Hero Open's taking place in Scotland. Callum Hill shot a 63 to sit 9 under par. He's 1 shot ahead of Jonathan Caldwell. He shot a 64 to sit on 8 under par. And in motorbikes, 9-time MotoGP champion Valentino Rossi has announced he'll retire at the end of the season. The Italian is currently competing in his 26th season in the sport. He's second on the all-time list of MotoGP winners with 115 victories. Finally, on the Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news, we'll be talking to former Irish athletics team manager Patsy McGonigal ahead of Brenton Boyce's appearance tonight at the Olympics in Tokyo. In the Airtricity League, Fun Harps manager Ollie Horgan looks ahead to this weekend's Northwest Derby with Sligo. Derry City manager Rory Higgins looks ahead to their game with Drogheda. Keith Cowan also speaks to Jeremy Doherty, looking at the Premier Division action this weekend. And in Gaelic Games, Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News looks ahead to the Ulster Football Minor Championship semi-finals between Donegal and Armagh, and Tyrone and Fermanagh. And in hurling, it's the start of the hurling championship season. Well-known coach Dahi Roberts looks ahead to the action there with Tom Comack. That's the Score after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday. It's coming up to 5:20. That means it's time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up, we'll hear about the huge volume of sheep meat being imported into Ireland. Many people will be surprised to know that so far this year, the equivalent of 175,000 20-kilo lamb carcasses have been imported. I've been speaking with Sean McNamara, Chair of the Sheep Committee with the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. But first, a major new decade-long and pioneering strategy for Ireland's food and drink sector has received government approval. Food Vision 2030, a world leader in sustainable food systems, has been launched. This ambitious and innovative roadmap for the agri-food sector aims to see agri-food exports rising from current levels of around 14 billion euro a year to 21 billion a year by 2030, further enhancing Ireland's position as a global leader in safe, sustainable agri-food exports. Meanwhile, just some advance notice that the Donegal Mule Group 2021 sales will be held at Balbafay and Stranorlar Mart on Friday, the 27th of August at 6 o'clock. Now, the ICSA Sheep Chair, Sean McNamara, has raised a significant issue in the past week. Bord Bia has revealed figures in relation to the importation of sheep meat. The volume of sheep meat coming into the country will surprise many. Some 3,500 tonnes in carcass form have been imported so far in 2021. Sean McNamara has described the figures as staggering. I spoke to him earlier today and put it to him that many people will be surprised at the high levels of these imports.
Oh, definitely. They're shocked, but they were shocked ourselves when we heard it, like 3,500 tonnes, which is equivalent to 175,000 lambs behind in carcass form. We didn't think it was coming in this volume, but it is. And last year, they came in 4,500 tonnes, which is equivalent to 230,000 lambs. We asked Bord Bia what was branded as going out with, and they couldn't tell us. They told us that wasn't their remit. It was up to the Department of Agriculture.
Now, many people would have thought that we were pretty much self-sufficient when it comes to sheep meat. So not only are we importing these carcasses, but we're also importing live lambs.
Yes, we're importing, you're talking about 500,000 a year live lambs. So we say last year, you're talking about 730,000 came in from England and Northern Ireland.
So the question has to be asked, why are the numbers so high? Obviously, there's a demand and the factories need them.
Oh, there's a demand there as well, and I reckon that we're being used as a depot account of England not able to get into the European market. This is a handy way around it. They're bringing them into Ireland and cutting them up in Ireland for the European market and going out as, we don't know, but it looks like they're going out as Irish lamb. That's what it looks like at the moment.
Well, if Irish producers could produce more, is there a guaranteed market there?
Well, as it is, they're using these lands to pull the price. And so you know yourself, if Irish farmers had to produce 30,000 more lambs, what to do is they just slaughter and give us nothing for them. That's the way to go on. They tell us that too many lambs in the system. They still bring in the lambs and that'd be it, and tell us that too many lambs in the system. So that would be more carbon friendly and everything to come along and produce in our own nation. But we know what happens there. Like, they just bring them in and that's it.
So a lot of sheep meat being imported into this country. Is much of it ending up, do we know, on our own supermarket shelves?
Well, so we asked that to Bord Bia and they weren't able to tell us. So all they told us wasn't their remit. They knew not about what way it was going out. So they couldn't give us an answer. It was the Department of Agriculture's remit. So we couldn't get an answer out of them and that.
And the consumer, no doubt, would go in purchasing lamb, thinking it is Irish. So if it's not, they would be very much surprised. And this, of course, brings another issue up, and that's traceability.
Yeah, well, sure. As far as I can see, what's going on now, traceability is out the door. Like, they're hounding us to be involved in Bord Bia here, and these lambs are coming in, no quality assurance, no nothing, and just going through the system, and that's it. And, like, that's what's happening. And like your own county, Donegal, is the biggest lamb producing county nearly in Ireland, and like it affects your farmers nearly more badly than any county in Ireland.
And again, we have that thorny issue of tying in with traceability, and that's the whole labelling issue. I mean, the consumer, it's very difficult to know, and what labels there are, sometimes it can be very much in the finer print, the smaller print, the finer detail.
Oh yeah, it'd be in somewhere in the packet that you wouldn't nearly see it, and that'd be in. Sure, you know yourself, my wife brings home a leg of lamb and she cut the plastic off and a bun over and that's it. Like, you know, that's the whole of it. But it might be in the final print, it might not. We don't know. Like, we don't know what it is. Like, we haven't seen it.
So from the ICSA's point of view, no doubt, you are seeking guarantees that what imported lamb coming in is here, it certainly cannot be sold on as being Irish.
Yeah, well, that'd be my point of view, that it isn't sold on as Irish, but like we have not got no guarantee in that. So that's the big thing. That's what we want to see, that it can't be sold as Irish. And like I says, are they using us as a depot to give it a English lamb? I don't know. Like, it looks like they are. Like, the English can't go to the European market. That way, it's a handy way out. Could bring in the lamb in here in carcass farm, cut them up, send them off to the European market, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So what happens now? Are you going to keep the pressure on?
We're going to keep the pressure on that we get answers out of the department and our board. Well, the main one, they're putting the remit now in the Department of Agriculture. So we're trying to get answers out of the Department of Agriculture to see what the story is with them. But it's very hard to get anywhere with them, you know what I mean?
On a more positive note, Sean, it's been a good year for sheep farmers. Prices have been good.
Yeah, prices have been good and very good, but still, prices in England is a lot better. So therefore, they're bringing in a lamb that's maybe 20, 30, 40 cents dearer than here, maybe 50 cents, I don't know what it is, but about 50 cents dearer than here, and can afford to bring it in, ship it across Ireland, call it up, bring it back a weekend. So, like, they can afford to pay more for it, so they can afford to pay more for Irish lamb. I know Irish lamb is good, but like, the cost of producing a lamb is surely 100, at this stage, is surely 110 euros, 115 euros. So, it's not 130 for a lamb. There's still not a big profit in the thing. Like, you know, it's okay, we're making a profit. There's no point saying we're not, but we could do with making a bit more now. Mm.
And just while we have you on, Sean, just to bring up another related matter. Back in March, there was the details about a wool feasibility study, and, you know, remarkable to think that the price of wool had fallen to such an extent that it was not much better than worthless in some cases. Where are we now on that whole wool steering group, and what do you think is going to happen?
We're still working as a wool steering group. The biggest problem we have is getting markets for wool, and we're trying to get companies set up of our own that would pellet the wool and we use it for different purposes. Like, there's an awful lot of uses for wool. We're trying at the moment. Pippa Hackett says that she's not paying out any money on the feasibility study till October, so therefore this year's wool is gone, so it'll be next year's wool is all we can prepare for at this stage.
And you mentioned there are different things that it can be used for, and maybe things we wouldn't have thought of in the past, and given this green era that we're used in, I mean, one of the possible uses is as a form of insulation.
Oh, it is, definitely. It's the main one is insulation, and it can be used as a weed depressant. It's several different, like, where they're trying to do away the weed killer, but the wool can be used as a weed depressant in market gardening and all that thing. So, like, there is a lot of things can be done with it, like, but, like, it all, you know yourself, it all costs money, and it's very hard to get grants to get these things up and running.
But
we're a rich economy.
But in the long term, I mean, at least it's been examined in detail, and the hope must be that we will see a demand for wool in the future, which will drive up the price.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping in the next year that we, this year we get had, that we're hoping next year it'll be a different price now, and I'm saying it will, but we're hoping that we get the price of wool up and that we get all the different markets, get different little companies going and get to use our wool, and that there will be, that they'll want it, and that's the main thing. Like, not farmers dumping it, which that's all, like you said, it's all it's used for. That's all it's useful for now. It's worth more fertilizer to farmers now than it is to sell it off.
And that was the ICSA Sheep Chair, Sean McNamara. And finally, could you be Ireland's best new entrant farmer? The Teagasc Newbie New Entrant Competition is now open for entries. The competition is for newcomers to farming, successors and farmers who have diversified their enterprise. The prizes include €500 towards training or an international farm visit, the production of a farm video, a plaque for display on farm, and the opportunity to attend a newbie conference with other national winners from across Europe. And you can go to the Teagasc website for more details. The closing date is Monday, the 30th of August. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Let's take a look at the weather forecast. The Met Aaron tell us it will be mostly cloudy this evening with just a few brighter spells. Some showers, heavy and thundery at times with a risk of hail and some spot flooding. Moderate to fresh and gusty southeasterly winds. They'll ease to moderate as the evening progresses. It'll stay blustery though with showery outbreaks of rain overnight, turning heavy and thundery at times. Lowest temperatures tonight, 11 to 14 in moderate to occasionally fresh westerly or variable winds. And once again, tomorrow it'll be mostly cloudy with thundery showers merging to longer spells of rain at times, holding a continuing risk of spot flooding tomorrow as well, in highest temperatures of 17 to 19 degrees Celsius. And that's Highland Radio News for now. The main news in brief, and Selda has confirmed the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre will operate as a walk-in facility on Sunday. Anyone aged 16 and over who hasn't yet received their first dose vaccine can go to the centre without an appointment. First doses of the Pfizer vaccine are being offered. Full details on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, registration for COVID vaccines for 12 to 15-year-olds are expected to open on this day week. COVID numbers in Donegal continue to fall. Latest HPSC figures show 1,267 cases up to midnight on Tuesday. That's an incidence rate of 795.9. The rate last week was over 950. And Leo Varadkar is being accused of hiding from questions about his attendance at a function hosted by the former minister, Catherine Zupon. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 5th of August. The death has taken place of Pat Carr, Warrington, England, formerly of Glasgow and Glinsk, Fannad. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch, followed by interment of ashes in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and to government guidelines, Mass and interment are for family and close friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the British Heart Foundation, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Patsy Paddy Maguire, 142 Killyclogher Road, Oma. His remains are reposing at his home with removal on Saturday to St Mary's Church, Killyclogher, for Mass at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. COVID restrictions apply, with wake and funeral strictly private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie, care of Maguire's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Mary B. Mullen, late of Silverdale Care Home, Castle Derg. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Phyllis Flanagan, née Carney, 12 Bell Road, Claddy, Strabane, and formerly of Ardmore, Derry. Funeral from her home on Saturday, August 7th at 25 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Dunnyloop at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to MenCap, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In compliance with current HSE and government restrictions, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via St Columbus Church Dunnyloop YouTube channel. The death has taken place of Colleen Feeney, Glengad Mountain, Mallon. Her remains are en route to her late residence. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Lag, Mallon for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with current HSE and government restrictions, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Nuala McCrossan, née McCafferty, Tullyhullion, New Mills, Letterkenny. Nuala's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Interment afterwards in New Leck Cemetery. Flowers welcome or donations in lieu to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. In compliance with current HSE and government restrictions, the house and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of John McGinley, Edinburgh, originally of Glashershu, Derry Connor. His funeral will take place on Tuesday, August 10th at 2 o'clock in St Gregory the Great Roman Catholic Church, with interment afterwards at Craigmillar Castle Park Cemetery at 3 p.m. The death has occurred of Paddy Hines, Donegal Road, Ballybuffet. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate's Turn Order at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live at churchservices.tv/Turn Order. In compliance with current HSE and government restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Breda Freel, née Gallagher, Keshens, Newton Cunningham. Private funeral will take place for Breda in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on newtonkillayparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Department, Letterkenny University Hospital, the Donegal Hospice Letterkenny or the Galway Centre, care of any family member or Charlie McLaverty Funeral Directors.
In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people. The house is private, please. And the death has taken place of Mary McLaughlin, 23, the cottages Burnfoot. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Angus's Church, Burt, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are for family and close friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people permitted. Mary's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt.